Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
I'm looking at my notes right now because I genuinely wrote something down in my notes that I wanted to talk about, but it's gone. It's disappeared.
You know what's funny?
It's completely disappeared, and now but it was like one of those things.
It was
where
from the other day because I kind of know when Jana and I kind of know when we do that because I'll kind of see you just randomly grab your phone like after we say something that's kind of interesting or funny or controversial.
Yeah,
and we'll write it down. And I remember you doing that the other day.
I know.
But it's gone.
It's gone, and now I'm really bummed because it was great. And I don't want to talk about it because I always want to save stuff for the podcast.
Right.
But it was gone.
But you have no idea what it is.
No.
Great. Well, that's our show. Have a great Monday.
Woohoo. Guys, we need to celebrate, though. We're nominated for a People's Choice Award.
Go team.
And the only reason that we are is because of our Wind Down listeners and Amy Sugarman.
That is it.
No, we're so excited. It's so cool. I honestly didn't think, because Amy had texted us saying, hey, there might be, maybe, possibly.
And you and I put the lid on it quick.
Yeah, like
with
like,
each
don't
other.
Don't even get your hopes
up. Because we're like, okay, whatever. We didn't want to get too excited.
No.
And honestly, I forgot about it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't.
Until.
Have you heard?
I honestly,
are we nominated?
I forgot until Amy sent it to us.
I was genuinely surprised, though. It's a great
you
category.
See the list of people on that
I know.
List.
And so now we're like, hey, honey, we have no shot in hell.
Oh, yeah.
Zero.
Now we're like, we already popped our champagne because like we won what we needed to win.
Yeah.
We got nominated.
But then again, though, I mean, not saying anything, because I love Scrubbing and Tanya. But I mean, I thought for sure Lady Gang was going to win. Because they have a bigger following. They're on E.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you never know.
Never know.
I mean, I know we don't have Bachelor Nation, so I think it's either going to do. What I would like to see is Tanya and, Becca to do.
Back to back?
Back to back. You know, that would be the sweetest one of that. But
I mean, it's all.
I like the idea of you guys have your mantle at home. You got your iHeartRadio Podcast Award, People's Choice Award right next to it.
I mean, look, I would love to win. I just think it's. But again, I mean, who knows? If you guys vote, though, if you go to People's Choice Award and you vote, you can vote 25 times up today for Wind Down.
I think if they did actually call us up there, I'll just be sitting at the table. Nope. Nope. No. This is wrong. No. Nah, we're good.
Nah,
you're somebody
we're
else.
We're just here for like the wine and hanging out and saying we got nominated.
I'm way too drunk to come on stage right now. Like, no, I did not think this was going to happen. But no, you can vote.
They can.
So,
but
you never know.
Who knows? But hey, how cool.
Super cool.
I mean, who would have thought? It was funny because when I was writing that post, I never thought it would be how it is now. I just, from everything that we've been through, there's no chance in hell I would have ever imagined being nominated, talking about stuff that we talk about.
Yeah,
and
no way.
Even talk, you know, it's just, it's really, truly crazy, especially from the time when I was writing my first book proposal and you ripped it up. You're like, I don't want this in your book.
And we can laugh about it now.
But yeah, I mean, he ripped it up, shredded it out, and slammed the door on his way out, which I understood. I mean, but at the same time, I was just like, but I want to help people, and I think it could help people.
It was just too soon then.
No. I mean, well, obviously, I was like, it takes 2 years for a book to come out. But yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, now look at us now. It actually is sooner than when the book would have came out. If you thought about it.
Yeah, but... Still, we weren't talking about it then.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
Talk about it then was. Yeah.
But again, I mean, look, it's so crazy.
It is crazy. Very fortunate.
A lot
of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we deserve the award.
So go, Bo, please.
So please go, Bo.
So do you want to do our 5-minute recap real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get that one out of the way.
Okay, we watched episode 2.
of One Tree Hill.
Episode 2 of 987 episodes. Or whatever it is. And what were your thoughts?
So what's the James Lafferty's character's name?
Nathan Scott.
Oh, sorry. Nathan. So he's an ass.
Yeah. Which
he's
you know James,
so
obviously.
Mean. Yeah.
You guys are buds. And you just didn't you do his podcast?
Yeah, he's got a show that he's doing with Stephen I almost called him Coletti. Stephen Cavallari. Oh my God. Stephen. Stephen Coletti.
We need to get James on. Can we get him on?
Amy?
James Lafferty?
We can keep trying.
Someday? We can keep trying.
Trying.
I really would like to get Chad Michael Murray on too.
I just asked.
You did?
And he has one of those holiday movies coming up, different network than yours.
Hallmark.
So mm-hmm. I am pushing for that.
Okay, cool. Because okay. I would really likely, like... Yeah. I would really, because I'd like to have his wife and Sarah on, and we can talk about relationship and Winter Hill and recap. But because James is an, like, his character is so mean.
He's one of those characters where it's like, God, what was his name? Easton, did you watch Game of Thrones?
No. Oh. I'm sorry. Really?
Oh, that's right. Remember, we already had this conversation where he wasn't into that. He's not into, like, the other fairy lands.
Right.
I'm a hard sci-fi guy.
More realistic, like, Avengers stuff. Yeah, I get it. but it's like one of those characters. There's a character in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. He's like the king. He's a young king. And it's one of those, you hate the character so much where I felt like if I saw him, that person playing that character walking down the street, I'd like, want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And that's how James Lafferty character
you
is.
You want to punch him in the face.
Nathan Scott. Like if I saw Nathan Scott walking down the street, I'd want to like drop kick him in the chest. Because he's terrible. He's the worst. But Lucas is my man.
I really like Lucas. And I really want Lucas and Peyton to be together. But I feel like I feel like Joy's character, Haley, is going to somehow, I think she's going to want to date what's his face? Shoot, Lucas.
Lucas. Yeah.
I think Haley's going to want to date Lucas and Lucas is going to
Well, don't
be,
you kind of know what happens? You were in
I
the
don't
later seasons.
Know anything. That's the thing. I know nothing.
But you know what happened in your seasons.
I know. No, all I know is who marries who. That's it. That's all I know.
So you know the end game.
I know the endish game. Yeah, yes. That's... I didn't even watch the last season. So, I mean, I got a lot of catching up to do. But anyways.
I do have two things that I wrote down in my notes about the episode.
Oh, my gosh.
First of all, Lucas punched Nathan in class, right?
Yeah.
No mark on Nathan's face. What kind of punch was that? They couldn't even put makeup on him to make it look like he had a bruised eye. Nothing.
I mean, you know.
I thought it was awesome when Lucas took his name off the back of his jersey, though.
That was amazing.
That was awesome.
Loved that.
Okay, we probably have like 30 seconds left. And the biggest thing we took away from that episode was the quote from Uncle Keith when he took the cover off of Peyton's car.
Oh, that was so good.
He said, it's usually the prettier the girl, the messier the car. And Jan and I just kind of looked at each other because Jana's car is usually a mess.
I really do. I have a messy car. I don't know.
So it holds true.
Prettier the girl, the messier the car.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was our 5-minute OTH recap. But no, here's the thing though. I'd rather have a cleaner house than having a clean car. Well, I got all the kid stuff in my car.
I have the same amount of car seats in my car as you do.
Contrary.
Excuse you?
There's a car seat sitting in the garage.
So, yeah. You have one and I have one. Chase is in the garage right now.
I'm just saying, I'd rather have a clean house. Easton?
Clean house than a clean car?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clean house by far.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you know, you can have both.
I think I spend as much time in my car some days as I do in the house because I'm the one that always drives.
Fascinating conversation.
So, yeah.
If you really want to hear some more fascinating conversations, come visit us on the Wind Down Tour, which is coming to a city near you. So check janakramer.com and we would love to hang out with you. I'm going to sing some music. We'd love to hang. And also, we're working on something else new that's really cool. We're doing a talk show.
We are doing a talk show.
So you need to download the app Telly and you can actually ask your questions on our app. So
it's all live interactive
in
the moment. So when you're watching us, that is us right there. And Easton shows us his Telly app.
Yeah, I love it. So yeah, it's really cool. We're going to be able to interact with you guys. So download the Telly app. That is going to go next week. So that's going to be exciting. Okay, what else? We have an interesting guest today. Like very interesting.
It is very interesting.
I'm excited in a way where I don't know. I think people might be upset with the view that I take.
Okay.
I don't think I'm popular. Nothing. I don't think I'm the popular opinion.
We'll find out.
Stay tuned.
Take a break. So hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Ultra's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter, and he said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants, so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jana. That's ZipRecruiter.com/JANA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We are in Irwindale, and it's the SoCal country at the brewery. And I'm really excited because not only are we podcasting from here, but I'm hosting an event, and there's Hardee's playing, High Valley.
All sponsored by Miller Lite.
Brought to you by Miller Lite and iHeart Radio. But we also have a surprise guest that's going to be playing, performer, Jed Wyatt. Woo!
Woo! I have a special place in my heart for Miller Coors.
He got kicked out of college.
Yeah. I was telling them in the car that...
By the way, Jed, Michael, and I, we shared the same car, which, by the way, this is actually a funny story. So I didn't know you were going to be on our thing, but in their itinerary kept saying, like, Jed, you were attached. I'm like, who the F is Jed? And then Tori sends me the thing, like a people interview of you. And I was like, oh, this guy. Wow. And I was like, oh, great. And I'll get to, you know, my feelings and thoughts in a little bit. But so I didn't see you at the, I think I saw you like kind of out of the corner of my eye, but I didn't know if you knew who I was. So I played like head down. So then I'm in the airplane, and I was like, Michael, if this mother effer checks a bag, because we didn't check a bag, we're only here for a day.
If we have to wait because he checked their bag.
But it takes forever at LAX. I mean, forever. And I'm texting Tori, and I'm like, look, I was like, welcome to my hell. If this guy checks a bag, I'm going to be so pissed because I'm like, we purposely, like, I do not check bags. I hate
news
it. It drives
to
me
anyone
crazy.
Who ever travels with Jana in the future, if you're listening, even if you're gone for a month, do not check a bag. She will judge you and hold it against you for the rest of your day.
I travel with the equipment for the podcast. It's like this, like, 90-pound
thing.
You have to check that. You have to check it. He's...
I don't know what. It just drives me crazy because I like to land and get in the car and just go. You know, it's just like I've been traveling for so many years. I just want to get and go and blah. And so I'm just like, and he's here for like 2 days. So if this guy brings all of his like stuff, you know, for 2 days.
So judgmental.
I know. That was all like my internal.
But then instantly, once you saw he didn't check,
I was like, oh, we good.
Love him. He's great. Yeah. Which is another funny point, though, which we talked about in the car, but there's a sign that had all three of our last names on there.
Oh, this is funny.
And I didn't watch the season, so I didn't know necessarily what you looked like or anything. I think Jana had her head down, but you walked by and I was like,
I marched right by it.
You walked right by the sign that said Kramer, Cossin, Wyatt.
Oh my God.
And I'm already like, this guy.
No.
And so I asked Jana, I was like, hey, you look like you would have been on The Bachelorette or something like that. And you had a guitar on your back, right? And I knew you were playing today. So I was like,
classic.
Yeah, just judging the book by its cover, I was like, my senses say that might be Jed. And so I asked Jana, and this guy near us, like younger 20-something-year-old guy, overhears us. He was like, oh, yeah, that was him. He was like, I was just trying to text my fiance, but she's in the bathroom, but I have her phone, but I was going to text her and say that Jed's here. And because they're big fans of The Bachelorette. And I was like, thank you, random kind sir. Now we know. Let's go, guys. Let's go get him. And we grabbed the driver. And we
I thought it was so here. Nice you guys came to get me, and I walked right by the sign. I didn't even know that till right now. That's awesome.
But I'm like, where is he going? God. And then Mike's like, well, maybe he checked a bag.
I thought you guys might have checked a bag. That's what I was looking for. I figured you guys would be at the baggage.
No.
Now I know for a fact that you were not there.
But then when that guy started talking, I was just like, what?
So good.
I was just like, thank you.
But he helped us. Walked away. Because of him, he helped us. We're good. We're here.
It was so funny. Anyways, okay, let's get into it. So for those of you, should I even recap? Or is your name just so recognizable right now that you don't even have to recap?
No, go for it.
So Jed was on Hannah's season. He was the winner. But then... No, Michael. But then, yeah, you guys broke up because of a situation, because you of some, you know, the girl and that whole issue. So what I...
Which Janet came to your defense before I even knew about any of this. She was catching me up.
I actually, and this is what I kind of told you in the car, but I wanted to save a lot of it for the podcast. But I actually took your side. And I think it was a very unpopular, how do you say that? Unpopular. There you go. It's a very unpopular thing to take the side. But I did take your side because I thought that it was really overly dramatic. And I thought that 99.9% of the dudes that go on that show have a girlfriend. Or someone they're talking to, or someone they've slept with before they left, or someone they've texted
before
they
left. Everyone always has someone they're talking to.
Yeah. And I think you want to go in with who knows, because who knows, right, if the show's going to ever work. But right.
If you're the guy that gets kicked off week one, you want to be able to go back to your girl that you're talking to.
And also, there was a letter, apparently, that the girl that you were dating at the time, you wrote, you know, I'm going to come back to you, or whatever, I'm paraphrasing, and, you know, I love you. And to your defense again, I have told plenty of people I love them. Guys, didn't mean it.
Right.
It's just, you know.
I still don't know if she means it when she says it to me.
No, but I think, you know, maybe you're a love addict. I'm a love addict. He's a love addict, you know.
I am a hopeless romantic. Like,
same. As a and you want.
Like, you kind of like go there.
Yeah. And you really want to feel that. And maybe in that moment you did. But then you go through the process and you're like, okay, that wasn't actually real. I was just manifesting something that I wanted to be real. But now this is real. And both of those things can be, I think, the same and can be okay.
Sure.
No?
Yeah.
I think it's just life. I think when you bring a reality dating show into the mm-hmm. picture, then everything kind of gets all twisted out of context. But like, if this happened in like the real world, this kind of thing does tend to happen.
Yeah. And
especially
I thought
in Nashville.
That,
like, it's an interesting dating.
A 1,000,000%.
It's weird there.
And I like Hannah. She seems very sweet. I've met her at an Wingo Tango. But for me, watching the show, it just felt a little bit overly dramatic, where I just was like, you're upset you're just because of that? Like, I don't understand that.
I can see how, and we haven't experienced it, but I can see how that becomes their reality, right? So it's all distorted. So maybe to that person...
But to
Hannah,
but to give him the gauntlet that bad, like, okay, he did end up. Yeah, you should have told her. I admit you should have told her sooner. You should have said something. You should have. But at the same time,
but if for him, really speaking, like said, for Jed, what I have to
right
say,
here.
I rest my case. Oh, but through the process, you might have not felt that. Like you said, you might not felt that anymore. Life, you just change. You're figuring your life out. You're still young. It's like, why even explain it if it didn't mean anything to him?
Exactly. I get that, too. That's what I'm saying. I totally get that
right.
point, too. But, you know, from a girl's point of view, I am backing her on that point where I think that, yeah, I think he should have at least said, hey,
all right,
just
Hannah,
so you
hey,
know.
I told someone I loved her once before. So just so you know, I've said I love you before
the
in
show.
My life.
No, I do. I'm not trying to.
I get what you're
most
saying.
Of it, 90% of it, I thought it was way too dramatic for what it was. I was just like, come on.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting upset about?
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, I can totally see where I didn't give Haley enough closure. Like, I felt like I had closure because of a phone conversation that we had once I landed in LA. And this
okay,
is right before
so I didn't know about
yeah,
that. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I felt like I kind of had like my piece. But, you know, I can see, especially like looking back at the note and stuff like that, how it could have been like very misleading and in a way like hurtful. Because, you know, she was in love and I was feeling it at the time and I thought that was love. But then I met Hannah and mm-hmm. that was it. I felt like that was it. So
if and Jana and I kind of talked about this earlier, you know, we all rode in the car over here together today. And if like she did really love you, would she in Jan and I's opinion, it's like, well, then if that was us, we'd be like, well, if you really love me, then stay.
Well, and so I DM'd Hannah. So this is also my beef with her, too. I DM'd her. Well, she was really sweet, and she DM'd me a couple times when from Wango Tango, and I was like, okay, she's really sweet. I like her. After that rose ceremony, because I the live, I DM'd her, and I said, look, if you truly love him, come, you can make this work. Don't let the outside world tell you what you're supposed to feel and how you're supposed to feel. I mean, I literally wrote her a whole thing. So I'm like, so if Jed, if you truly loved him, I was like, Michael and I went through, you know,
everything
on, you know, from affairs and all of that stuff. I said, if we can get through that, I promise you, you can get through this and you guys will be so much stronger. I said, but I said, so don't let the outside world affect what you are, what maybe you feel like you have to do. Because you know how many times my friends told me to leave Mike? A million. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if you truly love him, you can make this work. Got right. Nothing response back. So I was like, mm-hmm. All right, whatever. But that bummed me out too. Because I was just like, okay, now, you know. But
Well, you're trying to be real.
Like, yeah. Real.
You're trying to like.
But we were talking a couple times too. Right. So I was just kind of like, all right, well, I was just trying to help, but I'm not, you know.
How's everything been since it all? Like you're doing music and all that. Like, how has it been when you're out socially? You know, any backlash or just how are you feeling about everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's been actually pretty positive. Most of the people that come up to me, I would say like 98% of the people have been like really kind and usually just want to take a picture and chat for a second and that's it. But as of recently, I had a situation.
Do tell the situation.
Come up. And at this point, it's funny now because it's
does
like,
anyone know?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of my friends were right there and saw this firsthand. Okay. So,
I'm so excited to hear this.
Yeah, I was at one of my friend's shows. Okay. And I was ordering a drink for my friend and bringing it back to the seat, and this girl stopped me and said, "You know, will you take a picture?" I was like, yeah, just one second. Let me take this back over here and then I'll come take a picture. So I go over to the table and I get caught up in conversation and I sit down. I completely forgot because I'd already taken like a few pictures that night. And
well, I'm sure a ton.
I just forgot, right. You know? And this chick came back over to me and she kneeled next to me and she says, "Hey, you remember when you said you were going to take that picture?" And my initial thought was, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm so sorry. You know, like I want to make it up, but like I didn't like get to that point. She was like, yeah, well, you should take more time to appreciate the people that are still your fans considering you got dumped on national television. Then she dumped a drink over my head in front of all my friends.
I can't handle that.
It was like out of a movie. Like,
how does she it think was she out has of an the audacity
who does that
to do that?
I don't know.
I would love to pour a glass, but you just don't do that.
I had a drink thrown in my face once. I probably deserved it, but not like a random person.
Wait, how did you, tell me more.
That's neither here nor there.
No, I want to know. Tell me.
That's neither here nor there. No, back to Jed's story here. The fact that this is just a fan, a random person, one interaction, he's human. And what, I mean, what is this person doing?
I don't know. It really felt like it was out of a movie. Like I felt like it was a scene. Like and there should be like, all right, cut there. That was great. Like you killed it, Becky. Way to dunk.
Let's try
that
his head. Let's do
right
it again.
Over his head.
Lock the gate.
You drenched him. He smells like tequila. All
right, this may be controversial, which means it probably will be. Okay, we're all about equality.
Oh my god!
In the world today.
Oh, here comes the headlines.
Here comes the headlines. All right, say that happens, right?
Okay.
And that happens to Jed.
Or you, apparently.
Or anybody. And out of a reaction, a man does it back and pours their drink.
On a woman?
On a woman's head that just poured their drink on theirs. Is that wrong?
Yeah.
Any retaliation is wrong. But I'm saying, is that more wrong because a man did it to a woman? Mm-hmm. Why?
All the women are like, mm-hmm.
Just because life isn't fair. That's here. The only reason. Life isn't
here.
Fair.
Come here.
Yes, of course. We would get more, but that's not fair.
Okay, I think my girl Emma has to say something who's been sitting and listening to this.
She can't hold back any longer.
No, I completely believe and agree with what you're saying. Oh, you'll get more, way more of a reaction than if it was done like how you had it done.
Oh, 100%.
You would have had so many people laughing, right? I bet. Like, were they laughing? I would have laughed. I mean, it's funny, right?
But we all had the same expression.
Were there people laughing as well?
Like everyone just had the exact same expression
of like, wow, like that just happened.
If you did it to a girl, I bet you'd be arrested.
Yeah, yeah. I was just there would be so much, like so much stuff would have gone down. I think if it was a girl, like, right. and I don't agree that that would be the case. But it's just that's what happens.
But why, in certain situations, is it still the men that are more at fault? Why?
I mean, look, it was not okay that she threw her drink
right,
on
I'm
his
just,
head.
Right, I'm just saying.
100%.
Why? We can't be selective about equality.
But if a guy did that to you, you all would be brawling.
Yeah, but I think also, like, regardless of who pours a drink on who and in what situation it is, I think it pays more to be the bigger person in that situation.
A million percent.
No matter who it is. Like, if it's someone you know, if it's someone you don't know, like, at the end of the day, I mean, who looks worse? Me, who sat there and let her walk off while she had just poured a drink on me.
What if it was a guy, though? What would you have done?
I definitely probably would have acted more heated towards the whole thing.
Would you too, Mike?
We would have had problems.
Now
I am calm and collected.
And still reading my How to Be an Adult in a Relationship book.
Damn right.
What page are we on, Boo?
Always learning. 113.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't see what's funny here.
Okay, Jed, so what's next for you? Because God bless you, Amy. what are you, so obviously, do you have any singles out right now that the listeners can get? Because I really do like you. And I think we had a great hour and a half car ride that we all chatted. You're a nice guy. I think you got the shit end of the deal. I really do.
Yeah.
So I want to help promote you. So tell us everything.
Yeah. So I've, with everything that happened, it was kind of hard to like lock back into music and stuff. So
because that's why you came on the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But who doesn't?
It is. 100%
I would be like, I want to, you know, you'd whatever. That's just what people do. You don't go on The Bachelor just to fall in love.
I didn't think there was a chance I was going to love someone on my show. There was no way. So I was like, this would be good for exposure. And then I went there and fell in love. And what do you know? But now, like, since all the shit has kind of settled a little, I feel like I can finally be myself more and lock back in on the music. So I have been in the studio, and great. I do have a single that I'm hoping to release sometime in the fall.
Yay!
I'm really, really pushing for an EP, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I felt super called to do some charity stuff. So one of my good friends in Nashville and I have been kind of putting our heads together, and we're hoping to launch our first like nonprofit charity event in Nashville in November.
Good for you.
I love that so much because that's something so different than what I've seen some people go off the show and do. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
I just feel called to it. Like even when I was going to the studio to work on the singles, my mind, I couldn't be there because I'm feeling like, and it's not for anyone, but like people, like I want to help in some way.
Mm-hmm. In what kind?
I just want to give back. Like, I feel like so much of my life has been like me, let me figure out me. And when I look back at that and I see that like, it really wasn't like filling my spirit up that much. And I feel like I want to like give back in some way. So that's why we've been working on this charity and dialing it in. And, I think that we're going to do our best to have a pretty big event for St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Nashville.
Oh, I love St. Jude's. That's awesome. Well, let us know if we can, you know, be a part of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'd love to come out.
Please do.
Are you single?
Awesome. I am single. Yeah.
Still looking. Are we on the apps? Are we on the Raya?
No, I didn't even know what a Raya was. One of my friends sent that to me the other day. I was like, what is this, a game?
Like, Raya is for like celebrities and big people timers. In the industry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty big platform too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll promote my music on it.
I like it. He's got the smarts, too.
I love it. The whole package.
No, but I
what are you looking for? What do you that you haven't had before?
As far as a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I think that communication is huge, and someone that I can work through issues with and openly communicate and not shut each other out. And I feel like that's kind of hard to come by. So
a lot of people don't know how.
It's easy to run too. And that's you want the person that's going to fight with you because marriage, relationships, it's hard. Then you add kids on it. It's just hard. I mean, Michael and I are always like, man, this is tough. And you have to have someone that wants to fight with you and not just be like, nah, all right, I'm on to the next relationship. Because you're always going to find someone that looks shiny and bright, but they got stuff too.
Yeah, grass ain't greener. And it's the little moments, like even today on the flight out here, Jan and I were kind of getting at each other a little bit for just no reason. And it was one of those things where, you know, we kind of reached over and just kind of pounded it without even having to have a talk around it or whatever. But it's just those little moments that I appreciate so much because we're going through shit together. Right. Like you said, you know, we're willing to realize that it's hard, but we're going to communicate. We're going to deal with it. And
what's the one thing that you think you can work on yourself for a relationship? Because we all come into a relationship with baggage.
Patience, definitely. Mm. I'm not the most patient person, and that's always been kind of an issue of mine. So definitely just being kind of more patient to kind of see what's going to happen as far as like the relationship goes, you know, like letting things play out and not trying to take it so much into my own hands and like giving it to God and just trusting the person more, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Jed Wyatt on Instagram.
At Jed Wyatt. Says at Kramer Girl.
Final words.
At Kramer Girl. No, I'm just thankful to be here with you guys. I'm glad I got to finally meet you and got to hang out with you guys today. So it's been fun. And we're Nashville neighbors. So
let's do it.
We've enjoyed it. And this is true. You know, Jan and I meet a lot of the Bachelor alums and Bachelorette alums and stuff like that. And we've, because of our wonderful producer, Amy Sugarman, keeps us surrounded by them. But
they won't leave me.
They will never go
<They're>
away. But you know, not all of them do we find a lot of, you know, genuine authenticism in them. But just meeting you the short time that we have, we really enjoyed your company, and we think you are a stand-up guy and a great person. So hope nothing but the best for you, man. We really do.
Thank you.
See you in Nashville. Y'all give it up for Jed. All right. So we're always so worried about, you know, what we're putting in our bodies and what we're cleaning our counters with. But have you ever actually thought about what you're using when you're on your period? So here's the thing. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all natural cleansing wipes. So unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. Plus Lola, which I love too, they're all customizable. So for me, our flows differ from each female, and I like to have a certain number of ones than the others, but you can customize however your flow is. So the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products, so most of them don't. And Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. It's great, too, because I always know when my period's about to come because the box shows up.
Me, too.
You're welcome. You can build your box of 18 tampons or 12 pads. They can be light, regular, super plus, whatever you need. So truly, it's really great. And again, I like the fact that I can cancel anytime. If my flow changes, I can add more boxes, modify the subscription at any time. So they also email you 2 days before your box ships. So there's no surprises. For 40% off your first month's subscription, visit mylola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. Again, that's 40% off your first month subscription. Visit mylola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. Do we have any emails, Easton?
Yes, we do.
Oh my gosh. By the way, you texted me.
Oh, yes, I did.
Sorry. Was that aggressive?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think everyone jumped in their car listening to this.
I'm sorry.
They all swerved. Whoa.
No. What was your question? He texted me and he goes, hey, I have a question for the podcast. Should I email it in to winddown@iheartradio.com or should I just ask you live? So
I just want to make sure I follow the proper channels.
We all want to hear your voice.
I don't get any special treatment. Yeah.
Yes.
So I wanted your guys' take on this. My wife worked.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's okay. Everything's
okay,
fine.
Okay.
Immediately goes to the negative over here.
I just don't know how to feel about this. So there's a dude my wife works kind of with. Like, she doesn't work with him. They work at the same place. Right. They don't work together. Okay. They've never, like, worked a shift together. And so he found her on social media, like, on Instagram, and started, like, just casually DMing, like, very friendly conversation. And, you know, I'm an extremely chill dude. This didn't even pop up on my radar.
Right.
And, you know, they had some conversations and stuff. And started getting, the messages started getting just much more frequent. And then something that...
And was she responding?
Yeah, yeah. And it was just, you know, again, just regular conversation, but just very, like, all day. Mm-hmm. And then something that she noticed that she brought up to me was that she, you guys know, she lost her parents recently. Mm-hmm. And he started asking her questions about that, but she had never told him that. Mm-hmm. So he went, like, in her Instagram and saw that, and then, like, started asking her questions about it, kind of like he's always known. Mm-hmm. And I took that as, like, a weird kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's, like, been popping up to me is now the messages come at, like, in, like, the middle of the night. It's like 1 a.m. And it's never like, hey, you want to hang out or anything. It's always like, hey, how's it going? Like, what are you up to? Mm-hmm. And, like, and again, like, I'm a super chill dude. I've got lots of friends that are women. I work with, you know, I talk to Tori all the time that works on this show. Mm-hmm. But, like, the one thing that, like, I always have a limit, like, I don't hit these people up at, like, after, like, 8 p.m., you know, because I just think that's kind
unless
of a
unless it's work-related.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Hey.
And usually for the next morning, hey, tomorrow morning we got to talk about whatever.
Yeah, something like that. And if it's like midnight, then it's, like, definitely, like, this person's asleep, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. So I've met this guy. I mean, like, he's fine. I think he's harmless. He's married.
Again, that means nothing.
Sometimes, exactly. And sometimes advantage. He complains about his wife to Allison. Mm-hmm. And so it's a, like, I just don't know. I'm trying to figure out if this guy's, like, trying, if he has, like, nefarious intentions, or if he's just a weirdo, or, like, should I talk to, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I've never.
And Allison's obviously been, she's been transparent.
Oh, of course. 100%.
Like, yeah. Okay.
And she, what will she say? Like, oh, he's texted again.
Yeah. Like we were at Disneyland like a couple weeks ago, and she's like, oh my God, this guy's hitting me up again. Like,
she just brought you in on it.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. She loosed me on all this stuff. Like, and it's funny, cause if he'll message her, like, on Instagram, and if she doesn't respond, then he goes to Facebook and starts messaging on Facebook. Oh. It's like my man, like it's not a medium problem. It's like, right. She doesn't want to talk to you.
I feel like she should say, like, hey, I think it's inappropriate for us to be DMing and chatting.
Yeah.
Unless it's work related. Because it's not, she's not wanting a friendship there.
Yeah.
That, and it's not like, it's not like you guys are all friends too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a, like, if I just started randomly talking to a guy, it'd be like, what? You know, yeah, you can have, we have other, like, you know, Julie's your friend, and, you know, I've, it would just be weird if I randomly started texting. Let's say I was texting Jed. You know what I mean? Like, right. We're buds now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what?
I wouldn't, yeah.
No, like, that. You just don't do that, because we're not, like, for why are we talking?
Right. And you and I always have a habit of, like, when we meet new people, it's usually like a three-way text.
Either
thread.
A three-way, or if it's a guy, I'm like, yeah, get Mike's number. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know what.
The thing that makes me, like, it sucks about this is, like, he invited us to, he has another job, and he invited us to, like, an event at his other job, and we went, and he was there, and he seems like a fine dude, but, like, when I met him, I'm like, I don't like you right off the bat, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, yeah. I was like, I could feel myself, like, not being very friendly, and I'm like, this sucks. I don't like to be this way, but this is, like, the kind of culture this person's, you know.
I don't like the fact that he's complaining about his wife. That's the first, when you, the second you said that, I was like, oh, he has wrong intentions, because anyone that complains about their spouse to the opposite sex,
right,
is almost wanting to get that same reaction back and be like, yeah, Easton's so annoying me right now, you know. And then they start bonding, and then the next thing is it goes into an affair
and relationship. And they weren't friends beforehand, right?
No.
Like, this is all new. Like, they just happen to work. They kind of know of each other.
Yeah, like they, you know, they see each other around, but they don't work with each other. They've never hung out outside of work either. That's another thing. They've never, like, gotten lunch or anything.
I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be different if they worked, like, together during the day, right? And you knew that every now and then she, like, worked with them, and they communicate every now and then. That's one thing. But the fact that they don't work together, have no reason to really be talking. She doesn't want a friendship there.
No.
And he's hitting her up on Instagram. And if she doesn't respond, goes to Facebook. Yeah.
I think she should be the one to say something, because if not, it's going to make a really uncomfortable work situation if you inserted yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was wondering if I should, should I DM and just be like, hey bro? Like, what, you know, but I don't want to go that route.
She willing to say something to him?
Oh, yeah. Like,
okay, so she is.
She's been kind of going like, I don't know, because she doesn't want to be mean, you know, but right. She also like doesn't want.
It's almost like the situation that we just had with that one guy that kept texting me. Remember, he came to go do something for us. I don't want to say his name just in case if he listens, but he kept texting and texting and texting. And I'm like, you should not be texting me this much and this often.
Oh, yeah.
Because why are you texting me this much and this? Like, if you're wanting just a friendship, well, I don't want to have a friend of the opposite sex that we're not really, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, this is, and I just ghosted. I should have just said, hey, you know, I don't want you, I don't feel comfortable with you texting me, because it became a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started to get a little aggressive.
Just recently he texted both of us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I don't think there's any.
I don't think there was either, it's still a boundary.
Exactly.
And it's funny I remember when Janet brought it up to me, like, man, he's texting me a lot. And I was neutral. I was just like, because I know how Janet is, and she makes everyone feel like you're her best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she just makes you feel like you've known each other for years right off the bat, right? Because Janet's funny, she's personable, all this stuff. So I get why people, she thinks we're friends, you know, or it feels like a friendship. But then but regardless, it's like still no boundaries, right? Still look at a perspective. It's like, haven't known this person long. I'm doing a job for them, you know? And then, yeah.
Yeah, it's just there needs to be, and I think at the end of the day, it's whether he had intentions or not, which I don't think he did. He was married.
No.
But again, I just think there just needs to be certain boundaries.
Yeah, and that's all it is. And I mean, he even stopped by a following time to check on something with his wife. You weren't there, though.
Mm-hmm.
But
the problem is that if it just gets blurry, because if he was to complain about his wife, I was to complain about you, if vice versa, that's when the lines get blurred, especially when you have that communication. And then it's like, oh, now we feel safe to go the next level because we just kind of both said we're annoyed with our partner. That's where you have to be careful with the boundaries that you have with the opposite sex.
Yeah, I think that in general, I think it's, you know, you and I have never really had an office workplace, right? And like,
I mean, my office is being on set, which isn't the healthiest of places for, you know.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, where we're 9 to 5
every
single day. You build these relationships with people outside of maybe your marriage or your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, because you're with these people so much. And, you know, we've all heard the term work wife and all that stuff, right? Even my mom and my parents have introduced me to people where it's like, oh, this is your dad's work wife, or these two are, you know, it's just all jokes and it's all within boundaries. But when you meet somebody new, when you're already with somebody, it's like, that's where I think is a boundary. It's like, what's the comfortable way around that, right? Where you meet someone of the opposite sex, you communicate at work a lot because maybe you have to, but then it's like, oh, you come home, hey, honey, like, I've been working with, you know, Easton, you know, and he's great. What do you think, Mike? And, you know, this is kind of like, wait, what? But if it's like, hey, we have a company party or whatever, then you all go together and you meet husband and wives and this and that, and then you start doing things, like, as a couples, that's one thing. I think that's how a healthy relationship can blossom in a workplace or something, but one-on-one.
Yeah, and she has friends from her work that we've like hung out with and that I know, and that she works with also. But like, this dude is coming from this like other weird, like it's one of those things where like she didn't like give him her. And it's not like, oh, you should follow me on Instagram. Like, it's he just like found it, and that's the thing that like makes me feel. It's like weird.
And it wasn't established like before y'all being together. Like, that's like when I first met Gianna, right? And she has all her band guys. She had a core group of band guys. I've never think about anything about her being on the bus with 5 other guys and her band guys texting her or whatever. And even,
but it would never be a solo text, even so, those guys. I mean, maybe my band leader.
Maybe, but I would never.
I mean, like, as much as I love Heath, we don't ever text like, hey, how are you doing?
Right. No. But it's one of those. My whole point is because it was before me. Mm-hmm. So it's like already established.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not weird. Mm-hmm. It's not uncomfortable.
So I would, yeah, I would definitely say have her say something. And if he continues to, that's when you, I think that's when Easton can step in.
Got to put on my bad boy jeans. And
yeah. Because it's just, it's not right. I don't think.
Yeah. Sometimes I try to like, cause he does these things that like, I remember doing when I was like 17 and didn't have any game, or like when you don't have anything to say, but you want to keep talking, like, oh, so how's your day? Or what are you up to? You know, like that kind of stuff. Like, he does that kind of thing, and I'm like, I don't know if this gets.
What's the point of this conversation?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he just wants a reaction. He wants to keep a conversation going when he's not getting anything.
Right.
So that's when I'm like, oh man, this guy's trying to like slide it in, but yeah. Not that I'm concerned.
Right. I mean, because
you know. Thank you guys.
No, of course. Yeah, I hope that helped a little bit. Let us know. Absolutely. Keep us updated.
Oh, I absolutely will.
Look, we all love a good subscription box, right? From food boxes to wellness boxes, they're all the rage these days. But what about a subscription box for kids that's fun, educational, and helps them develop creative confidence to change the world?
What I love about KiwiCo is that we actually, we've used this with Jolie, and it's nice because they come up with really cool hands-on projects, you know, for kids to make learning about STEAM fun. STEAM is...
it's an acronym for science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
And there's a lot of things, too. Sometimes I feel like... I don't come up with enough cute, fun activities for Jolie.
But every time the box comes, it's like, it's exciting for everybody because we're like, hey, Jolie, let's go do this.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, cool for us because we feel like, okay, they're doing something different than, okay, let's just color and sit down.
Right. How good was the koala crate that we just got?
It's great. I mean, it was ages for 3 to 4. It's fun, hands-on activities to engage, you know, the natural curiosity and creativity of preschoolers, which is great for Jolie right now and being in class. It's very affordable. There's no commitment. You can cancel at any time.
And each box comes with all the supplies needed for that month's project and a detailed, easy-to-follow instructions for the kids and you. Monthly options start at $19.95 a month, including shipping. For our listeners, go to kiwico.com/Jana to get your first month free.
Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to kiwico.com/Jana and get your first month free. That's kiwico.com/Jana.
So we got a lot of feedback on the last name conversation.
Oh my gosh, I found someone Instagrammed me and said it was, she's like, I'm a doctor's office or whatever. And one of them was, she hyphenated her name. She goes, I don't know why she did that, but she was Nicole White Butts. White Butts.
Like, I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, anything when Butts is the one you're hyphenating it to, you got to be aware of what's
exactly.
happening.
Exactly.
I'm just going to run through these really quick because I just think they're funny. Beth says, I dated a guy in college for 3 years, and his last name was P, P-E-E.
Jan Ray P. Hey, Miss P.
I'm a teacher, so I was definitely planning on keeping my last name. The funny story was, for Christmas one year, I wanted to give him a personalized Mets jersey, and the website would not let me use his last name because it was considered profanity.
That's so good.
And then Amy says, my mom had friends when she was younger with the name Doug Up the Grave and Phil Up the Grave. Last name is Up the Grave.
Up the Grave.
You hear a name like that and you got to think, like, what's the origin? Or did someone legally just decide change their name and decide to say, well, my family from here on out is going to be Up the Grave.
And she said their parents did it intentionally with the last name in mind. They named their kids Doug and Phil.
What? Great, like, parents.
Dug up the grave. Fill up the grave. I get it.
Jen says she ghosted a guy after the first date because his last name was Hyman. I could not be Mrs. Hyman, nor could I do that to our future children.
Hyman? What's wrong with Hyman? Isn't that like the Heisman? I mean, it's Heisman.
Hyman is a beautiful part of a woman's anatomy.
Hyman?
Yeah.
What's a hyman?
Hyman?
Oh, man, I don't know if I'm qualified to talk about
Tori, this. What's a hyman?
Do you not know what
it? When I was editing the email, I meant to Google it and I forgot. Something for sure sexual. No, I need Easton to tell
what?
Me. Easton, I need you to tell
all three
us.
Girls don't know what a hymen is. So, Easton, please give me your cherry cheeks and tell us what a hymen is.
It's funny you say cherry because that's what it's affectionately called.
Really?
God, I don't want to say this. Yeah, popping the cherry, breaking the hymen, it's a wall. Not a wall. I better make sure I'm saying this correctly. But it's a...
Oh, this a center for hymen, a thin membrane that surrounds the opening to the vagina.
Thin membrane, and so the first time,
how many people know that?
Yeah, wow. I mean,
three women.
I thought that was
a
common thing.
Also, no,
was like,
wow. Did you know that before the email, Easton?
Yeah. 100%.
Someone paid attention. Where is
the
hymen
in the vagina? A thin, fleshy tissue that's located in the opening of your vagina.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it's so cute when Julie says vagina. Because she should learn the names.
Anyway, going away from the funny last names.
From the hymen.
Break away from the hymen.
Break away from that hymen.
Hey-o. Sarah says, I'm 30 years old and I've defined myself by my career until it all came crashing down and I lost all confidence in myself. I haven't been on a date in a while and I'm working on getting back into the game. I'm not able to have kids and I'm wondering when to bring that up. Also, from a guy's perspective, is that a deal breaker? Like not being able to have kids. So a couple questions there. Like,
I feel like when you go on a date, especially, you know, when we both gone on dates, within the first couple of dates, I'm not going to scare a guy away and say, I want kids. But in the second, third, fourth date, it's like, hey, just so you know, goals. I really want to have kids. And if
we don't have to tell them, it's just like you talk about
what do you want?
What
for
you
your
want
life?
In life?
Yeah.
What do you want in goals? Where you see, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So I would say within the first couple, but I do think it's important if you can't have kids, I think that's super important for, because what you wouldn't want is to be like, yeah, I want kids. But then a year later, it's like, well, just so you know, I don't think that'd be a deal breaker for guys because there's other ways, but I don't know. Would it be a deal breaker for you?
No, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me necessarily. I mean,
but some guys are very, I mean, for example, one of our girlfriend's husbands said, I can't adopt because I want it to be,
you'll never look at it as
mine.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't understand that because I think adoption's amazing,
yeah.
But
me personally, it wouldn't be a deal breaker. Yes, I've always wanted my own biological kids, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker. But the tricky thing is I don't know when that window would be to bring up that aspect.
Would you feel duped if I didn't tell you for a long time though? Like if I said, hey, I you know, and you're in love with me, it's like, wait a minute, that would have been something I would have liked to know, because
a little bit, because say, you know, we got to the point in our relationship where like, hey, you know, I start having kids, and then you're like, after we're married and fall in love and all that, then you're like, oh, by the way, I can't give you any kids.
I would say
that would, yes, I would feel duped.
I wouldn't want it to be in the okay, I think you should say you want kids if you want kids in the first couple of dates, but then it should be a couple months when you're serious,
yes,
about this relationship.
Yes.
That's when I think you should tell that you can't have kids. That
sweet spot of enough
going
where
further.
You're not
going
to scare each other away with anything you say. Anything you say. Anything you say, but also not invested enough where you still, it's fair to give the person the opportunity to decide.
Yeah. If you guys are going down the I love you path,
yes.
I think it's right before you, you know, or after, like right after that, it's like, hey, you know, I love you too. And this is, I want this relationship. I just want you to also know that I may never be able to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe we can find alternative.
And miracles happen, man.
Heck,
miracles,
yeah,
happen all the time.
I was told I couldn't have kids. Bam.
Two.
What up now?
What up? I can't have kids.
You can.
They go.
This is my biggest thing. Jolie learned I can't, and it's driving me.
I don't know where she learned this. Someone
the wall.
Some little at school said I can't. Now Jolie's saying it.
Like I can't. Like I'm. Like,
so we're riding.
Oh my God, I can't. Like that.
No,
kind
no,
of
no.
Thing.
So no.
Oh, okay.
No, I like, love that. Can't.
Not
but,
like OMG, I can't.
No,
it's more of I can't.
She
do
was
this.
Riding her bike, oh, and she was getting scared because she didn't know how to pull the brakes on her handles, and I was trying to show her, and she's like, I can't. I looked at Michael, devastated. I was like, baby, first of all, we don't say I can't. Second of all, you can. Like, and I'm like, she learned that at freaking school.
Yeah, 100%. That's,
and it broke
that's
my
the
heart.
Downside of school, right? School, you learn, they learn so much. They learn these skills and interaction and how to, you know,
because we say
be
I
with
can't.
Other kids.
You know, we don't say that.
No, we don't ever. So that's just one of the negative side effects of school.
Yeah, I
that's
can't.
It's inevitable.
What? Yes, you can. What are you talking about?
Well,
when,
we
you
teach
haven't been
her,
scared?
Baby. We teach her.
By the way, I am really excited about next week's show because we have a special ops officer on the show and he's a badass. So
it's everything I want
that.
To be.
I know. So I'm really excited about that. But this has been a really fun show and can't wait to wind down with you guys again next week.
Later.
Don't forget to vote. Okay, bye.